Scripture reading will be from Joshua 24, verses 14 to 18. Remember this portion of the story of God as it is written in the book that we love, from Joshua 24, 14 to 18. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves the day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." The word of the Lord. If you've noticed, the sermon title is a question. God's priorities or ours? It's a choice. It's either one or the other. But what does the word priority mean? It means preceding an order of importance or rank over others, or doing something. And importance means greatness of worth, meaning a great deal, having much significance, value. So what's more important? What God wants us to do and how he wants us to live? Or what we want to do and how we want to live? Are we competing with God in the time he's given us here on this earth to choose between our own agenda and plans or his agenda and plans for our lives? Is it really a question of one or the other? Or could it be similar? Are God's priorities our priorities? We'll come back to that question later. What does God's word say about this topic? I have several scriptures I'll be going through. Follow if you want to look them up, but that's one of the reasons why we're trying to learn the books of the Bible by memory, so we know where to look in the Bible for certain references. But I'd like to get back to our scripture reading. So if you could turn to Joshua chapter 24, and starting with verse 14, I'd like to kind of go through it a little verse by verse. 14 starts, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." In other words, respect him, trust him, serve and worship him. And then it continues, "Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord." So what does he tell us to do with other gods? He wants us to just throw them away. He doesn't want us to just leave them here. He wants us to discard them, take them to the dump, get rid of them. He doesn't want those to be a problem in the future. And so, the undesirable things that distract us from God. In those days, it was idols. Figures of either statues of people or animals. Remember the golden calf. But we don't deal with that much today. But maybe our idols could be busyness, could be accumulating possessions, anything that distracts us from God. Verse 15 is kind of the crux, the focus I want to really concentrate on this morning. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And so this is Joshua talking. Choose for yourself who you will serve. Because you will serve someone or something. Who will it be? And then it says, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You see our nice chalkboard here from Gail. Joshua is talking about making a personal commitment, not only for himself, but for his family. And so, of course, that's our goal. That's what we want when we know the Lord. But we're sinners in a sinful world. We're easily distracted. We need to continue to focus on that. And then later in verse 16, it says, then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. And then they go into verse 17. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed these great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. They're saying God proved to us that he's there, he cares for us, he took care of us. How did he allow us to get out of Egypt? The 10 plagues, parting of the Red Sea, protecting us on the journey and providing us while we were all over the place in the wilderness. That's proof. And then in 18 it says, and the Lord drove out before all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land, we too will serve the Lord because he is our God. So the other people have also made a choice and commitment. So the phrase, choose for yourself, in verse 15. Choose means to pick from what is available, select to decide or prefer, to have the desire. The choice is, who are you to serve? So what affects the choices that we make? Why do we make the choices that we do? What we see with our eyes are living proof, physically. What information we read about true sources, like God's Word. What we hear with our ears, who we listen to. These are things that affect choices that we make. As young children, all of us have been at one time, we're very influenced by mom and dad, by our parents, the environment that we live in. And as we get older and we start having a little more freedom, we start picking certain friends, crowds, people we like to hang around with. But we don't always realize how they influence us. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. And then as adults, we are more on our own. There's more responsibility. We pretty much do what we want to. Mom and dad aren't around as much. They give advice, but we also hopefully become mom and dads later on in life if God blesses us that way. And so now it's our turn to be mom and dad and to give our children a good spiritual head start. I told my kids when they were growing up, the most important decision that they could ever make was to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that if they did that, that would affect so many other choices in their future. Will you serve the Lord or not? Do you believe in God or not? When I'm doing ministry, reaching out to people that God's put in my life, some don't believe God in God. They don't believe that the Bible is God's word. They don't know what they believe sometimes. They know that something created what they see with their eyes or themselves. But as I get to know them, if they allow me to, I get to understand why they don't believe or why they believe in something else because of what they've been through in their life, how they started out in their life. I try to share God's love with them. Some receive it. Some don't. And so, looking into the Word and realizing that difference, I came across a scripture, Romans 1:20, if you want to turn to that with me. Verses 20 to 23. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. What we see that God's created, it had to come from somewhere. As it continues in verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. We just read about that in Joshua 24, about the Egyptian gods, about idols. And in Psalms 19, it also talks about more proof of God. Verses 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth with his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Did you ever, during the night, get outside, especially when it's really cold and it's quiet, and just look at a clear sky? And it's like the stars are talking to me. It's like, really? This is what God made? I can't even count, let alone see, the expanse of the heavens. And that's how God talks. He says, I am the Creator. I am the Lord of all. And my favorite psalm, Psalms 8, verse 3, when I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. When you consider the heavens. I mean, it's amazing. And so, when we get to a point of choosing God's priority or ours, and we see the proof of God, And we can't deny it. And if it's not God, then tell me what it is and where it came from. When it's time to choose, that's where God's power comes in, the Holy Spirit knocking on our door. There's a few verses, a few scriptures that talk about choosing, that talk about one or the other. One is in Matthew chapter 7, and it talks about gates. Verse 13 to 15. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. If you got your bulletin there, Deb has put a little path through the woods. If you look through there, there's a little narrow path to go through. I thought of that. You could either walk through all those woods and become lost and not know where you're going. But if you follow the path that goes to a certain destination, and that's kind of what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is speaking this. He's talking about the wide gate to destruction. It's easy. You just walk in the ways of the world. It's like no problem. But the narrow gate of life is only this wide. So maybe we have to just kind of get through it with difficulty, and only a few are there. But life isn't always easy. And Jesus tells us that although we have him in our life, it's not going to be peaches and cream. It's going to be difficult. But we have him with us. We have the armor of God. We have the tools to reach out to people that don't have the peace that we have. And so, in that scripture, the narrow gate is what we desire. And also in John chapter 10, at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus is talking about the analogy of the shepherd and the flock, about how the sheep are herded through a gate and into a pen at night so that they're protected from wolves and predators. And he uses, again, the gate situation. And then in verse 7 it says, therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Verse 9 says, whoever enters will be saved. Is that you? Is that me? Is that the gate we want to go in? Is that the protection we want to have? Is he the great shepherd? These are examples of gates, paths that God provides. And so, reading back in Joshua, verse 17 refers to the Lord who brought the people out of Egypt and performed great signs. One of those signs is parting of the Red Sea. Was there a path? Yep. Was it difficult? I would say with water hundreds of feet above your head and an army with chariots chasing you might not be real pleasant. And so the straight and narrow path through the Red Sea was scary. It wasn't easy. They had to trust God, and they had to keep moving, though. It's been like, well, I think I'll take my time. They were running. They were just taking a stroll through the bottom of an ocean. And so, do we have those Red Sea moments in our life? Do we feel pursued by the enemy, the devil? Is it scary to confront challenges and trials in our life? I would say, I know that it's for me. If we have made a choice to live for God and serve Him, He will take care of us. It says that. It says that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 to 3. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not even set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So once we make our choice, how does that affect us? What do we choose to do with our life? When I think about that, I think about myself, three things. I think about gratitude, thankfulness to God. I think about obedience, excuse me. And I think about service. Gratitude, obedience, and service. First of all, gratitude. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that I have. As we prayed, food, clothes, a place to live, our health, people that love and care about us, encourage us, support us. And we offer praise and we worship God for that. Not just because of that, because He loves us so much. He sent His only Son to die for our sins so we might have a chance to spend eternity with Him. And we communicate with Him in prayer. We worship a God who is greater than any of our greatest problems. Amen? Amen. We can take nothing with us when we leave here. So let's do something with what we have for the Lord. And second, obedience. Be obedient and open to God's leading. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, as Hebrews 12, 2 says. What does He want us to do? What are God's priorities for us? Well, I looked up the scripture. I thought, well, if it's a priority for God, what is the most, one of the most important things? And so, Mark 12, verses 28 to 31, talks about the greatest commandment. The teachers of the law were debating in front of Jesus, and they said, which is the most important commandment? Jesus said, the most important one, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no command greater than these. Well, loving the Lord your God, well, yeah, that's, of course, that makes sense. And with your whole being, everything, okay. But the second one is about your neighbor? Really? Love your neighbor as yourself? I guess that's really important. And the third point is serving God and building on that reading in Mark 12. love your neighbor as you love yourself. If we love God, we want them to love God too, right? We want them to experience the same peace that we have. We want them to be in heaven with us too, right? So, what are we going to do about it? That's a good idea, Mark. Yeah. Ideas don't get things done, though. We got to get out there and do it. In Romans 10, it talks about this. Paul tells us, starting the end of verse 13 and going to 15, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus, come into my life. And he says, I will. Okay, Mark, give your whole life to me. Okay. Then it says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Are we going to be those people? Are we going to be the ones telling them? Are we not just going to tell them with our mouth, but are we going to live it out? Are we going to be an example of a Christian to others? When we tell our neighbor about God, what else happens? Well, I'll tell you what else happens. It's in 2 Corinthians 9. Paul was talking about generosity in the previous verses, And then in verse 12, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. You mean to say that if you are reaching out to people, other people will notice? It goes around town? It's like you're backing up what you say with what you do? God says to me when I'm going out witnessing, Mark, you think you're the only one talking to those people? You think there's no one else that I put into their life? God says, I got more than you. You just do your part. Don't worry about anything else. And then I find out, hey, Mark, so-and-so came over and they gave me a Bible. And another person, and I'm like, really? And I'm like, whoa, you see the work of the Lord. And I'm like, wow, I'm just a piece of the puzzle. And there's another piece over here. And there's another one. And then you see what's going on. You see the bigger picture. And it just blows me away. It's like, wow, I didn't even realize it. Brothers and sisters, God is on the move. And he's on the move here. People have been open to the gospel. Outreaches through, as I prayed, youth groups, Celebrate Recovery, international dinners, inviting people to various Bible studies. We can always do more. Do you know how many of all these things are taking place? I don't all the time, but I see a movement. I see people coming around in a spiritual way. We got this upcoming baptism. We're like, oh, man, is that exciting? God is moving. The fields are white for the harvest. Will you be a farmer and help with the harvest? Will you plant a seed? Sometimes in rocky soil, sometimes in soil with weeds, sometimes in good soil. Not a seed from a package, but this sea right here, the Word of God? Will you be a fisherman? Will you not catch fish, but people for the Lord? Let's get back to that sermon title, God's Priority or Ours. Is our priority God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Or is it me, myself, and I? Is it to serve God and live for Him and love your neighbor with all the events that have recently been happening in this world, in this country, in this town? Pandemic, people shooting people, political unrest, inflation, all this stuff is going on. It's hard enough to go through this knowing Jesus is our Savior. Can you imagine not having Jesus and going through this? Where do you turn? Hey, Mark, that God stuff you're telling me about, tell me more. I want to listen. I didn't think that we would ever go through something like that. I thought we were in control. No, we're not. So when you look at that title in the bulletin, it says God's priorities or ours. It's up to you. It's your choice. Take a pencil if you feel that and cross out or and put in and and cross out the question mark. And it will read it will read God's priorities and ours. But the choice is yours. If you are not sure about this choice and you want to know more about it, please come and see me after the service. I would love to talk to you and pray with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a time that we can look into your Word. Your Word is so full of wonderful, precious verses that encourage us and explain to us you and how you created the world and how you are so real. Lord, we pray that we would be your servants, your witnesses. Lord, that your priorities would be our priorities. Lord, we thank you for this time. We ask, Lord, that as we go from here, Lord, that we would be renewed, revived, be able to go out and share the good news. And Lord, that we would follow you and you alone in your name. Amen.